Found that in our study of prophecy, the timeline of the major events such as the first coming of Christ, the church age, the rapture, the tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, the thousand-year reign, the end of the world, the new heaven, new earth, all of this was outlined for us by the teachings and prophecies of the Old Testament. The main prophecies for this are the seven feasts that the Jews were to observe every year. And the first four feasts were fulfilled on their feast days, that of the Passover, which is the death of Christ on the cross, of the unleavened bread, the burial of Christ, and then the first fruits of the resurrection of the Lord. And this is dealing with the first coming of Christ. The next feast that were to be observed was that of Pentecost, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. We're in that feast now to witness to the world and tell them of the good news, that they can become children of God, their sins can be forgiven, they can have God as their Father, and all of the blessings that God has for us and the purpose that we have in life. The next feast is the Feast of Trumpets, dealing with the rapture. The next feast following that is that of Atonement, affliction, the tribulation period. And then the seventh feast is that of the tabernacle, dealing with the thousand-year reign of Christ. Then we come to the end of the world. At the end of the thousand years, the world will not come to an end tomorrow. It will not come to an end in the next 50 years or 60 years. We know that we'll have at least 1,000-plus years before the world come to an end. It could be longer than that, depending on when the rapture happened. At the time of the rapture, you'll have about 1,007 years or so involved before the world will come to an end. At the end of the 1,000 years, we find then that Satan is turned loose again from the bottomless pit and goes out and deceives the nations, and then the world is totally destroyed. Now, all of the prophecies that we have deal with these various events. There are events that tell us we're in the last days, and we've seen that. There are events that tell us that we're near the time of the rapture, and we're seeing that in the dealing with Israel and with the church and with the world. There are three areas of prophecy, that of Israel and that of the church age and then that of the world. And these are all being fulfilled in their proper time and in their proper order. If you do not understand this layout, then you will get those mixed up and think that, well, the rapture is not going to happen tomorrow because the gospel must be preached to all nations. Well, that's talking about the gospel will be preached to all nations before the second coming of Christ. And so when you get the order in place, then you can understand where the prophecies fit in. Then we saw the prophecies of the tribulation period, revealing that in the last 7 years, dealing with the 70th week of Daniel, as well as dealing with the second half of the Valley of the Dry Bones, with the nation of Israel, that they might become that spiritual nation. Then the second coming of Christ to this earth, and we come back with him. The prophecies of what happens during the thousand-year reign. We've not seen that, and we will not see it until the time comes. And there are people who believe today that we're in that thousand years on that. They have to really stretch their imagination, and they have to deny a lot of the scriptures in the Bible to do so. Now we come to the fact of the end of the world. We've seen that last week. That's totally destroyed. It's totally wiped out. It's not a matter of the earth being made over. It's a matter of the earth being destroyed. God creates a new earth in this. If you'll notice in Revelation chapter 21, and verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, the sea is symbolic of the multitudes, especially of the lost, and on the new earth, there are not going to be any lost people. They've all been cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity, and there'll not be any more lost upon the face of the new earth. Only be the redeemed of the Lord that will be there. And we'll see that in just a moment. And so we find that the time will come when this earth is destroyed by fire. That's at the end of the thousand-year reign. So don't worry about North Korea developing weapons that might destroy a lot of territory. It might make Oklahoma a lake, but it's not going to destroy the world. So you can rest assured of that. God will do the destruction of the earth. Man does not. And then not only the earth, but our solar system is wiped out. We talked about the great white throne and when it's set up and that the earth, there's no place found for it. It's not made over, it's totally wiped out. Then God creates a new earth. Now, in doing that, he will lay the foundation for it as he did for this earth. He'll create a solar system, and the earth will be in the sweet spot around the sun so that it does not get too hot or too cold in the matter of destruction of life involved with it. On this new earth, you'll have all of the redeemed. Every saved person from the time of Adam to the end of the world, they will all be on this new earth in their resurrected bodies. There'll not be any lost people there whatsoever. Satan will not be there. His demons will not be there. Satan is cast in the lake of fire. His demons are cast in the lake of fire. The Antichrist and the false prophet are cast in the lake of fire. No longer will we have their influence upon any of the lives that are there. Now, in that light, as we are on this new earth, we do not know the size of it, how big it's going to be or whatever else, but it will be big enough to take care of everyone that is there. Those of us who are saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and have been raised, born again through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we will be on that new earth from Adam to the end of the world, and we will have cities, we will develop nations on there. Nations and so forth are not designed by man. God ordered and put that into order for that we might have order in our lives and to be able to live the way that he wants us to live. God has order in all of his heavenly work and that is there. He has ranks in the angels. He has ranks in the heavenly hosts, such as cherubims are over angels and so on. And so as you study that, you'll find that God is not the order of confusion, the author of confusion, but is that of great detail, and things go according to what he has designed to do so. And so on this new earth, you're going to have, and we'll see how that comes about in the scriptures that deal with it. Now, on this new earth, you'll find that there's a new Jerusalem. It's not built on the new earth. It comes down out of heaven to this new earth. The new Jerusalem is a huge, huge city, as we'll look at in a moment, and it becomes the capital city of the new earth. God's throne will be inside of this new Jerusalem, and he will operate the cosmos from this new Jerusalem that is there. New Jerusalem involves a number of other things, which we'll look at in a few moments on this new earth. You'll have rivers, you'll have trees, you'll have lakes and so on, just like we have today, only that's not marred by sin on this new earth. So in Revelation 21 and verse 9, Revelation 21 and verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, sadly to say, there's not much said about that today in our churches. It needs to be. There are some churches that are very strong in it. They preach it and teach it as they should, the Word of God. But the majority of our churches are not teaching about the bride and all that's involved in it. The bride is not all of the redeemed of all the ages. The bride is a select group. Only those who are saved from the resurrection of Christ and to the time of the rapture. And this is very special. This is the highest position you can have. The Jews thought, being of the nation, the elect nation of God, this was the highest position. But yet there's a higher position. That's to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Everyone that is saved from Adam to the end of the earth, they're all children of God. Within the children of God, you've got different positions. You have that of the nation of Israel. You have that of the bride of Christ. You have others that have different positions. And then you have the heavenly host that we haven't even gotten into. And not many are talking about what is involved in the heavenly host. That's a different chapter, a different story altogether. But here we find that after this world is destroyed, one of the angels, as you see here, that the seven angels that had seven last plagues, walked over to John and said, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And so, of course, John would be excited about that, as we are too. And then he said, he carried me away in the spirit, to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So heaven hasn't moved to this new earth at this point. Heaven is where it is today, where God rules the cosmos from and makes his decisions there. The New Jerusalem is in heaven now, being built and being designed by God. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And so there's much to be studied in that light, in that relationship. But just to give you the principles that's involved in this new earth. And so on this new earth, you'll have this New Jerusalem coming down to the earth. And John is taken to a high mountain on the new earth, not on this one, but on the new earth, by an angel, and he sees New Jerusalem coming out of heaven, having the glory of God in it. Now the design of that is God's design. As to whether it's a cube, whether it's a solid deal, or whether it's open in the middle, or whether it's a pyramid, people have got all kinds of ideas about that. There are some scriptures that would lend to either one of those, or a number of those different types of construction that be there. But we have some basic things that are given to us concerning this New Jerusalem. And it says in verse 11 of chapter 21, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even the jasper stone, clear as crystal. The glory of God is going to be tremendous during that time. Man, this is going to be a time that we can't even begin to imagine and see what is there, because of what we've seen has been marred by sin. None of this will be marred by sin. Sin will not have a factor in it whatsoever. In verse 12, it had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And so around this city, there's a wall that goes around it, and it has three gates on each side. It's four square, which gives you 12 gates. On each gate is the name of one of the tribes of Israel. So we know that inside of this New Jerusalem, the nation of Israel will live in there. In understanding that, you'll find as you go back in the Old Testament and read all the way through in the book of Revelation and dealing with it, that Israel is the wife of God. God not only developed her, but married her and divorced her. That's kind of strange to our ears that we would even think about that. Most churches would not have God, if he came to this earth, as their pastor, because he's been a divorced man in that light. Think about that for a few moments. How much our prejudice really clouds what's really going on in the scriptures, isn't that? He's going to bring her back. The book of Hosea deals with that. And yet we don't realize it, because we block out anything of that nature that we might think that is there. But nevertheless, Israel is the elect nation of God. In Revelation, described as a woman with a crown, 12 stars, and moon under her feet, which is the nation of Israel, and she's pregnant. She gives birth to a child, which is Jesus. He was not born of Europe, of any of the nations in Europe. He was not born of any other nation. He was born of the nation of Israel. He's of the tribe of Judah. There's much to be learned in that. So in this New Jerusalem, on this new earth, there you've got the wife of God. Israel will be in that. And then as we see this, as you read in chapter 21, you'll find that each gate is one huge pearl. Think about that. I mean, there's things there that we haven't even dreamed about. What we have on the earth here is just a small portion of what God is really doing. When I think about each gate being one pearl, then I think about how big was the oyster that produced that pearl that God might have created there. We can have a lot of fun with God, and God has a lot of fun with us as we think about what he's doing and what he will do involved in this. There'll be special stones and gold, transparent gold as glass. We've never seen anything like that. But there in the new earth and in the New Jerusalem, we'll have these beauties that just take your breath away of what's going on. The foundation around this wall, there are 12 foundations, which has the name of the 12 apostles that are there. And in verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, which talks about the matter of the bride. Now remember, as this city comes to the earth, out of heaven, the new earth, not this earth, but the new earth, it's described as the bride of the Lamb. the multitude of people that's been saved. Now, normally we look at those who've been saved now, immediately, in our particular short period of time. We don't think about how many have accumulated from the time of the resurrection of Christ until this day. How many thousands upon thousands upon thousands down through the years have come to know Christ as their Savior. In relation to the population at any one given time, those who are being saved is a very small percentage. But when you add up all of that throughout all of the years, we've had over 2,000 years in the matter of people being saved that could be of the bride of Christ, which would be a tremendous number. And so the biggest, the largest occupants of this New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. And because of the position of the bride of Jesus and how God has honored Jesus, this then becomes the name of the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ, as this angel introduced it to John, and but still yet carries that name, the New Jerusalem, the new city that is there. And so the foundations around that will have the names of the 12 apostles and showing their importance and our relationship and that with Christ and with the others. Now, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And so we're giving the measurements. And this could go in a number of different ways as to how the design would be. But as we look at it, he said, the city lieth four square. The length is as large as a breadth, and the measure of the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And so as you take those descriptions that are given, there you're going to have a cube that is there, or at least in that light. I take it as the cube and the matter of four square. I have looked at the pyramid idea of that. It could be done. I don't argue with that, but I favor the matter of the cube, in which you have the building is 1,500 miles high. It's 1,500 miles wide and long. The wall is only 250 feet high. Now, why in the world do we have a wall around New Jerusalem when everybody's saved? Now, if God is moving his throne there, he's going to deal with all of the heavenly host, which involves cherubim, seraphims, angels, principalities and powers in heavenly places scattered throughout this universe that is there. And they all can sin, and they do sin. If they didn't sin, we wouldn't have the devil. But because they could sin, we end up with the devil. And then because they could sin, we end up with angels that left their first estate and habitation and followed the devil and so on. And so you have this. We'll even judge angels during that time. But that's a different thing. But just to give you some idea of what's going on this new earth. And so this city is quite a city as you think about it. You can have a floor on there, that floor, and have an opening in the middle where you'd have the throne of God and all. That floor could be 2,000 or 3,000. Well, not 2 or 3. It could be, let's say, 500 miles deep on the floor. Now, how much land can you put in 500 miles, say, on that? Each floor might be a mile apart. You'd have a mile from one floor to the next floor. You'd have space on there to put all kinds of trees and lakes and whatever on every floor. You could have a whole different world on each floor going up through that and all around there. That would take everything that we have now and have had down through the years on that. So don't worry about space. God has it designed and we'll have enough space for everybody. But this will be the main headquarters of the new earth and for all of the cosmos during that time. And so we have that measurement to look at. And then it says in verse 24 of Revelation 21, he says, and the nations of them, did you get that? The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings, are you getting those words? Nations, kings, the kings of the earth. That's the new earth, not the old one. That's those who are saved. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So those who live on the outside of New Jerusalem, on the new earth, that'll be those who were saved from Adam until that of Abraham, or along in that period of time. And those who have been saved during the tribulation period, those who are saved during the millennium, you'll have those living on the outside of New Jerusalem. Inside of New Jerusalem will be Israel and the bride of Christ. Those on the outside will be organized into nations. They'll have kings. They will farm. They will do things as we normally do, only without the hindrance of sin or the destruction of sin. They'll do it properly and in the right order as God has so designed for it to be done. Before Adam and Eve sinned, God put them in the Garden of Eden and told them, now just walk around and enjoy everything and find your couple of trees and make your hammock and just lay there and enjoy each day, not on your life. He told them, you take care of this garden. You take care of the animals. You have dominion over it all. And then they rebelled against God, and the battle started and has been to today. During that time of the new heaven, new earth, we will take care of that new earth. And you'll be in nations. They'll bring the glory and honor of what they're doing into Jerusalem to honor God with it. And so they will be going in and out. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Now, as I think about it, my imagination runs wild in all of this, just to get you stirred up a little bit, to get you to think about it. We're all in our resurrected bodies. We can appear or disappear, just as Jesus did in his resurrected body. We can travel eons of space and in a short period of time. Man, that's going to be a glorious time. But God will have rules and regulations that you just can't go everywhere and you just can't appear everywhere. He'll have rules and regulations. The New Jerusalem, as far as we've got here, has some regulations on it. You've got to go through the gates. We could just pop in and appear in New Jerusalem or pop out outside. No, you've got to go through the gates, as he states in that. And so there are some rules and regulations involved with all of that. And so things will be in order. Now they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Those that live on the outside will bring glory and honor and the inside. So there'll be much to do during this time. You have here in the New Jerusalem, there'll be the capital city, 1,500 miles square. You'll have the saved, the redeemed that are not the bride or of the nation of Israel. They'll live on the outside of New Jerusalem. And this will be on the new earth, not on this earth, but on the new earth. During the 1,000-year reign, we're being trained for that. But we're still dealing with lost people. We'll still witness to the lost people during that time. We'll learn how to use our resurrected bodies and how to bring them under the rules and regulations of our Heavenly Father and what we need to do and not do involved with that. That as we go to the new earth, it will be in a matter whereby that we will obey him. We will carry out his work and his orders as he will have us running the cosmos for all of eternity. We will be the children of God. Jesus talked about the matter of those who have certain, were given certain talents and invested it, and those that invested their talents. And the results of that was that they'd be rulers over many cities, or over a few cities, or not rulers over any. So what you do now determines what you'll be doing during that 1,000 years, as well as during the new earth, and for all of eternity. So it makes a difference what you do now. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, so I don't need to worry about anything else. Well, I got news for you. You got a lot of things to worry about as to how you're going to serve God and how you're going to honor him in which you need to. It's not a matter of being saved from hell. It's a matter of being a child of God. And being a child of God, it's a matter of learning to love your Father, to love one another, fall in love with Jesus. Oh, my, what a blessing. And when you fall in love, I tell you, we had a Trinity Baptist Church back in the 60s and 70s, had a lady that was, I think she was in her 70s, and a man that was in his 70s. and they both lost their mates, and they got married, and they would come, and they'd sit at the back, and he'd put his arm around her, and they just, you know, snug up together. I said, now, wait a minute, fellas, y'all be careful. How far are you going with this? I mean, it's just like two kids in love. It was beautiful in that. When you fall in love, everything is beautiful. Their attitude was positive. They weren't negative like they had been. And they were in love. When you fall in love, everything changes. And it'll make a difference as you fall in love with Jesus and with your Heavenly Father. On this new earth, we're going to be in love. And the service and all that we do and what's involved with this. And so they'll be going in and out, as we see here. And as we said, taking the glory and honor into it. What we'll do on the inside is something else altogether. And how we'll honor God. And what our responsibilities will be inside of New Jerusalem as well as throughout the cosmos. But it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm still working on that passage and understanding all that's involved in this. Here we are on the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the throne of God has moved from heaven today to this new earth. His throne is moved there. He's the light of it, and Jesus is the light. All their glory is there. You've got all the things that's going on inside of the new Jerusalem, and you've got only the saved, the redeemed on there. Now we've got the heavenly host and the angels to contend with. They're still scattered throughout the universe that God uses. They're different. They have different tasks that God has them doing it. Some of them will obey and some of them don't obey. Now it says here, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, or neither whatsoever maketh abomination or maketh a lie. Now, I thought all of those that would do that is already in hell. They're in the lake of fire. But there are some heavenly hosts, and they cannot be saved. There's no redemption for them. Salvation is to become a child of God, and only those that are created in the image of God can become children of God. We are blessed beyond our imagination. God has chosen. Now, if you can back up now, this is coming to the beginning now of an order that he has designed and planned. We don't even think about that, so we're looking at scriptures that are telling us, and we don't understand it because we're not thinking in this light of what God has for us in the matter of dealing with the new heaven and the new earth. In that, in the beginning, as God created the universe, he created the angels, he created the cherubims, he created the seraphims, he created all of the heavenly host. When he finished creating all of them, not one of them could ever become a child of God. Not one. Now God has created the entire universe, the cosmos, that we haven't even begun to imagine what is there, and he does not have a family. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they decided before the world was created how to create his family. First of all, they would create one that was lower than the angels, one that was weaker in physical ability and power, and that would give him a free will. But this person or this couple that would be created would be created in God's image, which would allow them and only them to become children of God. And so with the creation of Adam on this earth, knowing that man would have to sin against God of his own choice, not God forcing him to do this, but knowing this would be the pattern that would be there, and that Jesus would redeem them by his blood. All of this was before the foundation of the world. How to be saved, what needed to be done to be saved, in order that God would have a family. And praise God, it was done, and it's being done right now. Now, we come to this point in there. Of course, his family All of those in his family, are names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're the ones permitted inside of the New Jerusalem. Others who are not will not be permitted in there. I know there'll be some exceptions to this. I have not been there. That's why I'm still studying and still working on this. But this is a challenge. I'm excited about it and getting into it and see all that God has there for that. And so we find now that as we come to this conclusion of it and knowing what God is doing and that we have that great privilege of becoming children of God, of that great honor that he's bestowed upon us. And I pray that you will obey him, that you will be one of the best child that he has, or best children that he might have. And we have that privilege. And to do that, what makes a good child is a love for their parents. Do you love God? Not just thankful to him for what he's done for you, but do you love him? Do you love him even if he doesn't bless you? Do you love him if he doesn't even answer your prayers, seemingly? Do you love him enough to trust him with all that you have, everything that you have, because you love him? Not in fear of losing anything, not in fear of going to hell or anything of that, but just simply of displeasing God. My older children, of course, all four of them, the youngest one that came some years a little later on that, they all have their own personality, just like every one of us have our personality. Now, my oldest son, Jerry, if he did something wrong and I was going to spank him, and I would spank him, he'd look at me and says, "That as hard as you're going to get?" And that, you know, just challenged me on that. David, if I was going to spank him, and if he did something wrong, and Jackie said, "Daddy's going to spank you when he gets home," by the time I'd be home, David'd run off. He wasn't going to be around for that. He was smart enough just to get out of the way on that. And I would try to avoid it. Now, Rebecca was a different story altogether. And all I had to do, I didn't have to spank her. If I showed that I was upset with what she did, it broke her heart. That's the way I want to be with my Heavenly Father. When I see that he's upset with me, with what I've done or what I've said, I want it to break my heart. The spanking, yes, I'll take that and take whatever comes my way, and rightly so. There's no place to run to with God against him on that. But what I fear most is not the spanking, but of displeasing my Heavenly Father. I cannot imagine how Peter felt or what went through the mind of Peter when he had denied the Master the third time and the old rooster crowed. Peter didn't want to do that. He said he wouldn't do it, but he did. The Bible says that Jesus turned and looked upon him and Peter wept. He went out and wept bitterly and repented. I cannot imagine how it tore the very heart of Peter in knowing that he displeased his Lord and Master, Jesus. God didn't throw Peter away. He made him that solid rock that he said he would be, and one that you could use and would be used of him. The same thing with us. When we fall in love, then we want to serve him. We want to obey him out of love, not because we need to or we have to, but because we love him. And if we displease him, if we sin, we know it's going to displease him and he'll break our hearts. So again, I ask you, do you love the Father? Do you love Jesus? Are you ready to be committed to him? When you are, then you'll begin to live as a child of God, not as a saved person, but as a child of God. Oh, may God touch your heart. It could be tonight. You need to become a child of God. You've been trusting your works or your church membership or something else. Have you really prayed and asked God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus? You need to tonight. Fall in love with the Father and with Jesus. It could be that you've done that, but you just appreciated what God's done for you. And you've been trying to thank Him by your works and all that you do in that. Why not fall in love with Him? That you'll do things not because you have to, but because you love Him. And let that love just give you a whole new outlook on everything. It might be that you need to come and intercede for a lost soul, feeling the compassion of the Father for the lost. It might need you need to come and pray for those that are in harm's way, such as we have now in the hurricane down in, around Houston and so on, and the others that are coming in, the various problems we have throughout the world where we need to intercede in prayer for them. God spoke into your heart tonight. Will you make that decision for Him and make it out of love because you want to do what He wants you to do? May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.